Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 26th through Sunday, June 1st, 2025. The commentary for May was written by Neil Kumar Raman, who serves as rector of Grace Church, Haddonfield, New Jersey. He has a love for teaching, church history, and the liturgy. He is an avid reader, a double bassist, and he loves to cook, especially South Indian food. The commentary for Monday, May 26th, begins as follows with a passage from the Old Testament book of Psalm, number 80, verse 3. Restore us, O God of hosts, show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. And I should point out that this day, May 26th, is Rogation Day and the day we commemorate Augustine of Canterbury. Here's the commentary. When I was in the third grade, I finally succeeded, after a prolonged campaign, to convince my parents to let me walk the half mile to and from school. On the morning of the walk, I was more than a bit proud of myself that, just as I had assured my parents, nothing had gone wrong. I had managed to get to school just fine. When the end of the day arrived, I absent-mindedly marched to the place where I usually waited for one of my parents to pick me up. I had forgotten about my plan to walk to and from school. The crowd thinned until I was alone. I was terrified. I was angry. I felt abandoned. After what felt like an eternity, my father showed up. He asked if I was okay and took me home. I didn't know what relief really felt like until then. I had been saved. After we got home, he reminded me that the only reason I had waited so long was that I had insisted on walking to and from school. And now I'm going to read the passage from Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 26th, have you ever insisted that you could do something by yourself, only to realize that you needed the support of God and of others? The commentary for Tuesday, May 27th, begins with a passage from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. A friend and I once attended the consecration of a church building in Chattanooga. Now, this small community had scrimped and saved and worked for years to build a church they could call their own. We were strangers there and planned to leave right after the liturgy. Instead, we found ourselves invited to a reception at someone's home. The reception was lavish. There was an enormous and delicious-looking buffet set up in the living room, and to our surprise, they wouldn't allow us to join the line. We were ushered into a small dining room off the kitchen, where just a handful of places were set. To our horror, we realized we were being escorted to a place of honor. We tried to argue, but they wouldn't hear it. In the end, we gave up and ate, totally bewildered by this outpouring of generosity and hospitality. We drove back in silence, marveling at what had happened to us that morning. And now I'm going to read from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 16 through 27. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation on shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, have you ever experienced radical and unexpected hospitality? Have you extended that gift to others? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Wednesday, May 28th, the day on which we commemorate Mechtild of Magdeburg, one of the great mystics. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 25. And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? One of the least helpful things that has been said to me in times of anxiety or worry is, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. That phrase adds a new layer of worry. It makes me worry about being worried. But the instructions to not fear or worry, often offered in Scripture, ring differently for me because they are founded on God's faithfulness toward us. God's providence in my life has been nothing short of astonishing. During a period of extreme turmoil in my life, God provided for me in ways I could not have imagined. In a span of 3 months, my mother died very suddenly, and my son was born. I was completely off balance, and I was worried. God showed up with a community rather than a platitude. In the grief and in the joy of those difficult months, a community showed up to cry with me, to to rejoice with me and to help me to hand my worry and anxiety over to God. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this Wednesday from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 31. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, does someone need you to help carry their worry? Step in and share the burden. Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, May 29th. It is the day that we commemorate and celebrate Ascension Day, the day in which Christ was raised into heaven. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. "Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven." From our modern perspective, the ascension is one of the weirder events in Christ's life. On a surface level, it is kind of odd. Depictions of the event in art are even more bizarre. Some paintings and statues of the ascension of our Lord are downright hilarious, showing only the feet of Jesus as he rises to heaven. But the very strangeness of this event can pull us out of our usual way of looking at the world and remind us that in Jesus everything has changed. At Christmas, we celebrate God joining us in our humanity. With the ascension, God in Christ takes that humanity back to God. Jesus does not return to where he came from on his own. God in Christ did not descend and take on our humanity simply to be with us, as extraordinarily world-altering as that act is, but to drag us back up with him into the very heart of God, so that we might dwell there forever. And now I'm going to read the full passage for Ascension Day from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.' Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. And the moving forward question for this day, Ascension Day, research different images of the Ascension. Which ones resonate with you? And which ones provoke even deeper reflection? The commentary for Friday, May 30th, begins with Psalm 22, verse 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to tell of your loving kindness early in the morning and of your faithfulness in the night season. It was the end of a wonderful night full of laughter and good friends. As we were getting ready to leave, we all gathered in the living room and began to sing the Salve Regina in plain chant. This beautiful and ancient hymn to ever-blessed Virgin Mary asks that we be shown Jesus and made worthy of the work he has done on our behalf. I don't know how the singing started that evening. I just know it wasn't my idea. But from that point on, it was how we ended each gathering. Our joy in company and conversation was turned over to God in praise and thanksgiving. Through the short and simple song, our social time together was transformed as we remembered that all of our laughter and the heart of our joy was a foretaste of the heavenly party we would one day attend. And now I'm going to read the full passage of the psalm, Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The dullard cannot know, the stupid cannot understand this. Though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For your enemies, O Lord, for your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And the moving forward question for this Friday, May 30th, what songs do you offer in praise to God? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, May 31st, the day on which we commemorate the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The day began in darkness as we all piled onto a bus, half asleep. As we made our way to Alabama, the group of newly minted seminarians I was a part of heard the story of Jonathan Myrick Daniels from someone who had known him. We heard how hearing Mary's hymn of praise during Evensong one afternoon had compelled him to leave his seminary studies in New England to work for civil rights in the South. We heard how that work led to his martyrdom outside of a store. When we arrived in the town square in Hayneville, Alabama, the first thing I noticed was the oppressive heat. But I also remember the coolness of the stone on which Daniels died. As I stood in the shadow of one who bore Christ's light to the world, even unto death, I understood in a new way the cost of following Jesus. And now I'll read the full story from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 57. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, the day of the commemoration of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, pray through the verses of today's reading from the Gospel of Luke. Listen for God in them. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, June the 1st. It is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and it begins with a passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17b. "And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift." Here's the commentary. On a summer vacation to Colorado, when my daughter was young, we stopped for an afternoon in Manitou Springs. This mountain town near Colorado Springs is known for its healing waters. There are self-guided tours for the 8 naturally carbonated mineral water fountains located in and around the tourist shopping area. My daughter was delighted. At each stop, she splashed and played and drank from all the fountains. We knew the taste of sulfur or other minerals in the water might not be to her liking, but she insisted on trying every single one we came across. She wrinkled her face in displeasure at particularly strong tastes, but was never dissuaded from trying the next offering. She saw each fountain as a gift, and approached it joyfully to drink deeply. Children are so often the reminder we need to accept the unexpected gifts from God when they appear and to find the value in all of them. And now I'm going to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, beginning with chapter 22, beginning with verse 12. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let everyone who hears say, Come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, June 1st, do you joyfully accept the living water as a gift? If not, how can you work toward this childlike sense of adventure and delight? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.